The Lord has showed us in these last days, even these last years, and has given us the burden, especially to see more concerning the coming of His kingdom. It is surely not from us. This burden did not come from us. But much more, because the time has come. The coming again of the Lord is very near, really, really near. And that's why we must know about the coming of the kingdom. It is not just a teaching for us, but we are awaiting this. We're waiting for the kingdom to come. This is why, especially in these last times, we have come back to Matthew to hear or to understand and lay hold more of this gospel of the kingdom, especially concerning the constitution of the heavenly kingdom. Every kingdom has its constitution, Germany as well, right? Can you do whatever you want in Germany? No. Can you imagine that the German kingdom, that there's no constitution? It would be very dangerous to live here, right? It would be lawless, and everyone would do what he wants, everyone would do what he thinks is right. There would be no law, no constitution. You're free. Today, for many people, freedom means I do what I want. What does it concern you? Especially in the US. I don't know what it's like here in Germany. I don't live here, so. But many in the US today are really lawless. And this is really terrible. If you want to change the Constitution, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that they also don't want to pay attention to the Constitution anymore? What kind of country would this be? Or will it turn into if no one pays attention to the Constitution anymore? This liberalism, everyone does whatever he wants. This is surely not good. And can you imagine that the kingdom of the heaven, the constitution must be much higher? How high is the heaven? Where the Lord is sitting on the throne and ruling. It has to be much higher. The Lord said in Isaiah, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are much higher than your ways," or not? Just a slightly higher? How much higher? Much higher. And how much is this much higher? It is so high, as the heavens are above the earth. So much higher are my thoughts than yours. Don't think you know everything. Whoever says or claims to know everything is exactly the one who does not know everything. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8. If we think we know, then we are truly those who don't know. Who dares say that we know this or that? But we have an open, seeking heart, and we want to receive more from Him. Is that not the case? Clemens, do you already know everything? Surely not. I don't either. No one, none of us, is a Dr. Know-it-all. Are you Dr. Know-it-all? Surely not. Especially when it comes to the heavenly mysteries, these are hidden in God. do not think that he will show us everything. Can we even grasp it if he were to show us everything? So praise the Lord. The Lord has brought us step by step. And today, he brings us back to the Gospel of Matthew, especially concerning the kingdom, and we also have to understand why. Why does Matthew stay? Why is it at the beginning of the New Covenant, the New Testament? Because it is the most important. Today, and as well as it was at that point, it's about the kingdom. That's why the Lord taught us to pray, Father in heaven, your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where should the kingdom come? On earth. And where is it? Where is the kingdom? So my question is, when will it come? Later, when the Lord comes back, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus an important question, when will the kingdom come? What was the answer? Yeah, soon? Later? I still have to ascend to heaven and then I will come back and then the kingdom will come. Was that his answer? Was that his answer? Toby, what was his answer? He said, the kingdom does not come through seeing. It's not something visible. They want to see. The Lord, he says, it comes first in an invisible way. It doesn't say, see here or see there or in Stuttgart. It's not something you can see. What does he say, the Lord? He says, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And so many people don't even know that the kingdom of God has come into us. It is a problem. That's why we have no consciousness concerning the kingdom. What is the church? Oh, the church is a Sunday meeting where we all come together, and then that's the church. What are you? Oh, I'm just a member of the body of Christ. You're the hand, I'm the foot. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, what are you? A nose? Eyes? Ears? Paul uses many of these examples. And everyone thinks, yes, the church is the body of Christ. This is, of course, true. But is your body divided? Do you want to see that your body or that your left hand would do something and that your right hand says, I don't want to do that and I will do something else, and the right foot wants to go somewhere and the left foot? The right eye wants to see this and the left eye wants to look the other way. Is the body of Christ such a body that everyone does whatever he wants to do and every member does what he wants to do? And even if we know that the church is the body of Christ, this consciousness is not good enough. It's not sufficient. But we are sons of the kingdom, as Matthew 13 tells us. We are a son of the kingdom. We are not just citizens, we are sons of the kingdom. We have been born into this kingdom. We are not any immigrants, or not even illegal immigrants. Yeah, people who come in illegally, they don't want to build up the country, but will tear it down because they only want to gain something for themselves. But today, this is the situation. Everything comes in. Is that good? That everyone can come in and do whatever he wants? Is that good? Maybe a kingdom that is on this earth would be like this, but not the kingdom of heaven. If you do not believe, then really wait for the appearing of the kingdom. When the Lord comes back, this will be the visible appearing of the kingdom. And do you think that at this time, just everyone will be able to enter in? What does Matthew say? In the Constitution, many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and that in your name? Haven't we preached, done many good works? Didn't we even cast out demons in your name? What did the Lord say? Yes, you're welcome to come in. What did he say? I do not know you. I have never known you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Do you think just anyone can come in as he pleases? The word does not say this. The Constitution does not say this. And then the Lord says in this Constitution of the heavenly kingdom, the Lord says, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the scribes, you will for sure not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He even emphasizes, you will never come in. By no means you will enter. And then he said, the gates are narrow. The gate is narrow. It's not so wide without borders. Today, in Europe, the gate is limitless. It's so wide. You can come in at any time. But in the kingdom of heaven, it is not like this. It's a narrow gate. You think that in the house of the Lord, or to enter into the house of the Lord, well, we've seen the temple in Ezekiel, these gates. How many gates are there? Three outside, and then three on the inside. And they're long gates, deep gates with a lot of light, a lot of controls. To enter in, I don't want to say that it's not easy, but didn't the Lord say, how many will find it? Did he say many will find it? Few will find it. Few will find it. And to not even speak of entering or going on the narrow way. It's not that easy. It is really not that easy. Because then the Lord also says in the scripture, many are called, but even more are chosen. Is that what the verse says? What does the Lord say? Many have been called, many are saved. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ, then you are saved. Salvation is very, very easy. It's of grace, it's free, it's a gift of grace. Even this sentence is something that people love to hear, but it gives, there's another side to it. Very few are chosen for the wedding. So, dear saints, it's not comfortable to hear such a word because we all want to be free and to do whatever he wants. And I don't think that we have no freedom in Christ. Yeah, we do. But do not use this liberty as what? For the flesh. As an occasion for the flesh. Yeah, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. I think my German has gotten worse. Hopefully it's sufficient. There's give no opportunity for the flesh. Yeah, so the kingdom is really important today. If you have this sense within you, in your inner being, in your heart, that the church life today is the kingdom, is Zion, where the great king dwells and rules. He is king. He is not just your savior. He is not just your life. That's very nice. If he's your life, then you are living. But Christ as your king. That's something different, to have him be your king. So, if today we have the consciousness that the church life is not just a time of singing, praising, hearing a nice message, and then go home to do whatever we want. Then we come next Sunday. Do you think that's the kingdom? The so-called church life, of which many people speak today, ask them if this looks like the life of the kingdom. But let us not speak about others. Let us talk about ourselves. How is our church life today? Does the Lord rule? Are we really submissive to him? Do we obey him? Or are we often lawless and we do whatever we want? Do we really have this consciousness in our inward being that we are living in the kingdom and I cannot just do whatever I want to do? There are really rules. There's a law of the spirit of life within us. It's not just in the word itself, but this anointing lives within me and I must hear him and listen to him. But how often are we so disobedient to the voice of the Lord? The Lord says, don't do that. But we still do it because we don't get a ticket. You don't get a... You don't have to dig into your pocket and pay 700 euros. Because you're not punished today. If you don't get a ticket, let's assume for a moment that in Germany you can do whatever you want and there's no constitution. There would be many accidents on the highway. No one would be afraid. Everyone would just do what he wants to do. But today, this life within us is a life of the kingdom. And this life works according to that which is written in the Word. That's why it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's not going to force us, but it depends on how you live today. Do you live in the kingdom or not? And does a policeman have to watch over you every day here in Germany? Thank God he doesn't have to do that. Only if you're a criminal are you watched by police all the time. Today, we should live as the sons of the kingdom, obey him, so that he doesn't always have to watch over you. We all know the word of the Lord. We all also have this wonderful life of the kingdom within us. That's why we are called sons of the kingdom. The kingdom, it's a heavenly kingdom, and this is very important. Now, why do we emphasize this? Because the coming age is the age of the kingdom. And I'm convinced that if today you do not lead this life today, that when his kingdom comes in a visible way, do you think you will be able to get in without doing anything? I don't think so. Because the kingdom is now here and is within you. If we today do not have a sense that we are in the kingdom and that we walk as if we are living in the kingdom of heaven with a higher righteousness, and if we don't do what the Lord wants to do, us to do and live lawlessly, then remember, when the kingdom comes, we will not enter in. We will not enter in. Before, in December, you went through Matthew 5 through 7. Too bad I wasn't here to hear it. But in the U.S., we also had fellowship about Matthew 5 to 7. Before, we knew about this. We knew about this. We knew it. But it was just teaching for us because we don't have this sense. I don't have anything to do with the German law because I don't live here every day. So if I don't have this consciousness that I live in the kingdom of heaven today, then this teaching and this constitution would mean nothing to me. It doesn't have any meaning for us. But now, the kingdom of heaven is near, is at hand. As the Lord came the first time and the gospel was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was already that time. And of course, the coming of the Lord was the coming of the kingdom. He is the king of the kingdom. And today, at his second coming, it is also the coming of the kingdom, but this time in a visible way. And it is at hand in our time. Are we ready? Are we prepared for his coming again? And that's why it is so important that this heavenly constitution is something that we don't just read and know, but that it would be written into us, and that we would live according to it. Yeah, this wonderful nature of the kingdom, this being, this nature of the kingdom, without this nature, we cannot enter in. That's why the Lord started with, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. This evening, I want to repeat this to refresh this word. Many have said, we're in the spirit. I know many who emphasize this, we are in the spirit. But it doesn't just say, blessed are those who are in spirit. It's not how it's written. Many years ago, I've already heard, we have to be in the spirit. We have to be in the spirit. But it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The Lord is well pleased with someone who is of a broken and a contrite heart, not someone who is of a proud heart. Didn't he speak in John and in James? And what was the story? What was the background? Someone was preaching in the name of the Lord, and John and James were so for Christ and said, yeah, they preached in the name of the Lord, but they don't do it with us. So John and James said, and then James said, Lord, should we ask the Father to send fire to come down upon them and to consume them? Wow. James and John were so burning. They were really burning in spirit, full of fire. But what did the Lord say? You do not know what spirit you are. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Spirit is not spirit, but he wants to dwell among those who are of a broken and a contrite spirit, of a humble spirit. This is what pleases him. Even in the Psalms, he already said this. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, I think it is. Can you read it for us, Isaiah 66:2? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, But on this one, I will look. Let's read from the beginning, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Oh, in the spirit. That's what. In the spirit. You will be built up together to a dwelling place of God in the spirit. Of course, in the spirit. But here there's another verse. It says, where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Oh Lord. Amen. Yeah, what kind of house do we want to build him? Not just in, say, in the spirit, hallelujah, and if you're in the spirit, you don't need anything else. You don't need anything else if you're in the spirit? Really? Do we have a broken, humble spirit? Otherwise, if we don't have this, the Lord cannot do anything with us. We have to be poor in spirit. If we think we don't need anything else, and if we even think that we don't need the Old Testament anymore, then, well, I don't know what kind of spirit we really have then. The Bible doesn't just have one verse that says, in the spirit. The Bible is pretty thick. Well, here in an iPad, it's not that thick anymore, but the whole scripture. We need the whole scripture. If it were just so easy to say, oh, we just need to be in the spirit and we don't need anything else, then we are really pathetic. We have to be those who are poor in the spirit, humble. If we don't have such a spirit, do not think we will receive more from him. The Lord resists the proud. Oh Lord, he really gives grace to the humble. And this word, to be poor in spirit, it really shows us that it's a spirit that is humble. Just as the Lord who humbled himself, lowered himself. Even though he was God. Oh Lord, we need such a spirit in the kingdom of God. And not just that. In Matthew 5:3, we also need to have a spirit or a heart that it repents. If you're so perfect, then you are proud. You cannot really recognize your errors. A broken person is someone who has gone through many things, even a lot of failure, and realize that he is really nothing. Or if I think I know everything and have no faults, and I have the responsibility, and I have done so many things, then at the end you are really nothing. You're certainly then not a person with a broken spirit, with a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. This is how the Constitution begins. And then in verse 8 it says, blessed are the pure in heart. This is important. You don't just have a spirit, you also have a heart. Do you think it's enough to have a spirit? You're a person, you're not an angel. The angels are just spirits. They are invisible spirits. You are very visible. We don't just have a spirit. We also have a heart. And in chapter 13, we will see what type of heart we have. The brothers will bring this out through the fellowship. Of course, we all have to read this ourselves. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have a pure heart. Even if you have a broken spirit and you're poor in spirit, but if your heart is not pure, that also won't work. Blessed are the poor in spirit and the pure in heart. This is really important to see. Oh Lord, the kingdom of heaven has many requirements, many demands on us. It's not about what we do, but it's about who we are and what we are. And we see this wonderful nature. And actually, this constitution is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the kingdom. He is the kingdom. What came into you? What entered into you through your faith in Jesus Christ? What came into you? The kingdom. But who is the kingdom? This kingdom is the living person of the Lord. The King Himself entered into you as your life, as your life of the kingdom. Only He is qualified to be this life of the kingdom. We are not. Are you meek? Are you meek? Ask your wife if you are meek. Who is meek here? But blessed are the meek. Then we have a problem to be in the kingdom if we're not meek. Oh, maybe our brother Raina is very meek. Oh, wait until you get married. Blessed are the meek. That's why we have to live Christ. We have to live Christ. This sentence that Paul said is something you have to chew on again and again. For me to live is Christ. Amen. And this really means Christ is my life. And our experience has to come to this point. As Paul was able to say, it's no longer I who live. As long as we live, no one is meek. Do you think Paul was the most meek person at his time before he became a believer? No, he was a strong persecutor of the church. He was full of fire. Even the believers, they were scared of him. You just had to hear his name and then you would run away. As God told Ananias, I have an assignment, task for you. And then he thought, oh, okay, he gave me a task. Go to the person in Damascus who is waiting for you, Saul. And then he said, Lord, do you not know who this person is? Do you want to send me to this kind of person? He was not a meek person. But after the Lord came into him, something changed in him. And of course, not overnight. But with Paul, it went even faster because he was so absolute for Christ. He was such a person. He said he left everything immediately. He didn't wait, but with us, it's so slow. So without this life, if it's just an outward law, if it's just outward law, then it is impossible for us to fulfill it. That's why Paul says about the law of Moses, it's good, it's holy, but there's a problem. It doesn't give us life. It demands a lot of you, but it doesn't give you the way nor the life. This is the problem. It's not that the law in itself is bad, but Christ is the fulfillment of this law. But if he comes into you, comes into each one of us, the proof that he lives within us is that we also can fulfill this law through him. Just as Romans 8 says, he came to fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. And then he came into you so that also the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Amen. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That means, if you walk according to the Spirit, your life will be a life that is a life that fulfills the law of God. It is not so easy to say, I am in the Spirit, and I break all the laws, and I say, I don't need it today. The Lord fulfilled it all for me. I don't have to fulfill it anymore. Hallelujah. I am free from the law. I can do what I want. That's nice, isn't it? You cannot twist the word in such a way. Praise the Lord. The more we walk in the Spirit, the more will the law will be fulfilled within us through the Spirit, through cooperating with his life within us. Each iota has to be fulfilled within us. And didn't he say in the heavenly constitution, he who does not keep the law, but teaches others to not keep this law, he is the greatest. He is the greatest lawless person. then he is the smallest in the kingdom of heaven. This constitution is so important. And this constitution is about your dealings in daily life. For instance, it says, judge not. How often do you judge your wife? And the word judge does not mean as a judge who judges in the sense that you have to judge something that was done against the law, like in a court of law or something. But it's about this sickness in our flesh to seek out the faults in the others. If I see our brother, at the beginning I like him, but after time I see this mistake, that mistake, and then at the end I just think, well, your nose is too big. And I just don't like the way you look. And he's too quiet. He doesn't say enough. This is the type of judging that the word talks about. We always have to say, have something to say against one another in the house of God. That's why there are so many problems in the church. That's why we cannot get along with one another. We will then really fall apart, or we will go separate ways. So this heavenly constitution is very practical in our daily life. It's about your relationship with God, how you should serve God, not to be seen, so that people would praise you. Oh, what a meek brother. Oh, look at him. So glorious. Oh, wonderful. Oh, and this one. Oh. How you serve, how you deal with the saints, and how you deal with your enemies. Even how you live today on this earth. Where is your treasure? What is your treasure today? What do you serve today? This constitution is a very practical constitution which has to do with our daily life, the church life, with your work, and how you deal with your money, and so on. There are so many wonderful things that are very practical in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of the Lord. It is not as a matter of teaching. It's about how you deal with your family, with your in your marriage. It is such a practical, heavenly constitution. It is not difficult. How many chapters are there? Three chapters. Is that difficult to read, or a constitution that consists of only three chapters? Is that difficult? I don't think so. Or? Just read it 30 times a month, once a day. Then it'll be in your heart, and you will never be able to forget it again. It's so short. But in this constitution, if we have such a wonderful life like the Lord has, will you persecute people? Does it say, blessed are those who persecute others? Why did they kick you out? Because you persecuted them? Do you persecute saints? Do you like to persecute others? Or would you rather be persecuted? I have never known people who really like to be persecuted. But all those who follow him, all those who follow the Lamb, will be persecuted. All apostles, all disciples, through all times, they were followers of the Lamb. Those who follow the Lamb, who really did according to the word and lived according to it, who wanted to live godly. What does Paul say? And what does the Constitution say? They will surely be persecuted. Are you scared to be persecuted? But after a while, or having practice in this, you will have joy, because it'll be your free ticket into the kingdom. Amen. It's a sure entrance into the kingdom. Really? The scripture says, rejoice, because surely yours is the kingdom. Because of righteousness' sake, those who are persecuted for his name's sake, for the sake of the witness or the testimony, he was sent to Patmos. And we are his, those who are with him. We are fellow partakers of the sufferings of Christ. If we suffer with him, then we will also be glorified with him and also will inherit with him. So it is better to be persecuted than it is to please man. Everything's okay. But we have to really stand for the Lord, for the sake of his word, for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of his name, and for the sake of righteousness. We have such a wonderful constitution. Where do you find this constitution? And we see only the life of our Lord can do this. Who loves his own enemies? Do you love your enemies? Can you do that? Sometimes it's even a problem to love your own wife. It's not always a problem, but often it is. To love your enemies does not mean you accept all things, even to accept your enemies. But despite everything, you do not hate them. The Lord didn't accept everybody and say, oh, I will cooperate with you. No. But the Lord, even when he was on the cross, said, Lord, forgive them. There was no hate and hatred in his heart. But that doesn't mean the Lord would praise them. Look at Matthew 25. He says, woe to you. Do you think he said that because he hated them? Because he hated them? He wanted to save them. And he also wants to warn each one of us from religion or concerning religion, that we would not be misled and fall into it, because all of them thought they were so holy. They were the Pharisees, those who were supposed to know the scriptures, even the high priests and the elders. The elders, the high priests, the Sadducees, the scribes. If the Lord didn't speak in Matthew 23, then no one can know this. So we have to really understand what love means. It says, love your enemies. If someone persecutes you, what's your reaction? Will you get angry? 3 nights, or not be able to sleep for 30 nights? And every time when you think about it, the hatred comes forth? No. Praise the Lord. Your heart will be free. Instead of hating, you will really mourn for them. Blessed are those who mourn. Are we like this? We don't have to hate. But that doesn't mean we say, oh yeah, come here and let's meet again and all this. That's not what the word means. The Lord loves all. Does that mean there's no more judgment? That's not how it is. And so we see, we have to really know the Lord, but live through Him, and then we are capable to fulfill this heavenly constitution, to live according to the heavenly constitution. This will then be the expression of the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, you will try to fulfill this word according to your character, and you will interpret it in another way. And everyone will understand it in his own way. Then there will be an even greater confusion. But only through His humanity and through His life and through the life of the kingdom. He is the King. He is the kingdom life, or the life of this kingdom. So the Lord showed us this constitution again, not so that we just understand it, but that we would have a burden in our hearts to live according to this, to live in it, that this word would really, that we would move this word in our hearts all the time. We consider it, we would let it be written into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the ink is the Holy Spirit, and it will be written into your heart. On the tablets of your heart. It has to be written on the tablets of your heart. Then you will automatically, without thinking much about it, the Holy Spirit will speak and will remind you of this. Blessed are the peacemakers. Maybe you want to react. But this word will come up within you. Blessed are those who make peace. Are you a peacemaker?
Peacemaker. Or are you a troublemaker?
Are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? You one who makes or causes unrest and causes trouble? Are you those who are like terrorists causing trouble in God's kingdom? But you have to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. In Zion, we want to have peace. What does this peace look like? Who is our peace? Christ. Where is this written? Ephesians 2. And how did the Lord make peace? To bring us to the cross. This is the way of peace, is what the world does not know. That's why there is no peace. It's a very special peace. And our peace is this wonderful person who, if we are not put to death, and if I live in my flesh and you live in your flesh, then there will never be peace. It is impossible. Also in you to have this peace, it is impossible. How often do you not even have peace within yourself? So such a constitution is really a living constitution. It is not just written on paper. That's why it says in the New Covenant, this law has to be written into your heart because it's living, it's organic. It will become a part of your being. It's something that's written on your heart will become part of your life. It is integrated into your life. It is not written in the spirit. It is written into your heart. It is not written into the spirit. No, it is written into your heart. The Lord dwells in the spirit, but he writes the word into your heart. And then it really will become part of your human life. Then you will live in peace with all. If the others don't want to have peace, then okay, what can you say? But it should not depend on us. We need such a constitution. I want to use the time tonight to refresh us. If we don't have the life of this kingdom, then we are not going to know about the mysteries of the kingdom. Then the consequence or the effect of this will be complete confusion. Then there will be so many problems because the enemy will use it, take advantage of it. So we really have to pray, Lord, I want to live according to this constitution through you every day. I want to learn. I want to practice. If you ask me, how can we prepare for the coming again of the Lord that we can partake of the kingdom? Then you already have to live today as if you were already in the kingdom, because actually, indeed, in fact, we are in the kingdom. We are sons of the kingdom. And how are we supposed to live in the kingdom? According to the constitution. It's written. This is the way to prepare. or how will you prepare? And if you want to live according to this constitution, you have to live Christ. That's why in this priestly service, we want to experience Christ as our meal offering, as the reality of the meal offering. We want to eat this wonderful food. We want to really prepare every day, use every opportunity to have these experiences. It's so practical in the family, at the university, at work, in the brother's house. Thank you. Or in the sister's house. Or how you deal with the kids, especially when they're sick. That at the end we're not just... Yeah, so the more we have these situations, the more we can gain Christ. In every situation, praise the Lord. Teo, haven't you gained so much of Christ during this past time? So this is the way. That's why it is a kingdom of priests. We have to see the whole picture. It's a kingdom of priests. We cannot separate the priestly service from the kingdom. It also says it's a royal priesthood. But not according to the teaching, but in reality, in practice. Recently I heard that some say, according to the teaching, I agree with the priestly service, but I don't agree with the practice of the priestly service. Well, then please. Everyone agrees with the Constitution, but when it comes to the executing of this or the practicing of this, no one agrees with it. It's not about the teaching, dear saints. It's about the practice, the exercise of it. It's about the practice. If it's not about the practice, then you can forget about it all. It's not for the sons of the kingdom anymore, then it is for naught. Germans say it is for the cats. Praise the Lord, we're no cats. We are sons of the kingdom. So, dear saints, this is an appetizer for the conference. The brothers will surely share much more concerning Matthew 13, and I am convinced that the Lord will show us much. He will show us many practical things. I think many of us have come to this taste to say we don't want any more teaching and just a lot of messages and all the letter. It doesn't mean that we don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear the truth, but we want the essence of it, the practice, the reality. Only this will bring us to inherit the kingdom when it comes, and not to miss it. Praise the Lord. We have such hope in Him that all the saints will reach it, will make it, and it is indeed not that difficult. It's just three chapters. Three chapters. It is not difficult. What you learned, Yulia, to learn the law and to become a lawyer, it's really difficult, right? But these three chapters, in comparison to what you had to learn to become a lawyer, there is no comparison. It's easy. Above all, the professor lives within you. The professor himself lives within you. Jesus Christ, the Lord, Doctor, Professor Jesus Christ. And he is also the King. And he is also the one who fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God. He not only teaches you, he lives in you and helps you to fulfill this law. Three chapters. It's three chapters. Each one of us can make it. Who among us can say or will say, I can't make it? Each one of us has to be able to make it, or? Amen. Praise the Lord. If we indeed see this in the light of the Lord, then we all have the confidence and the faith that we will make it. Amen. No one can say among us, I can't make it. We should not say this, but we should all say, Amen, Lord, we will make it, and we want to make it. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray together.